Hey guys, before we get started, I just wanted to let you know there is a not-so-secret track at the end of this episode. Carly and I discussed the autopsy of Jane Doe, and there were some minor spoilers, so we decided to throw it at the end of the episode, after the music, to avoid upsetting those of you who haven't gotten to see it yet. You should, though. It's really good. Okay, on with the show! Welcome to Final Girls Horrorcast, the show where we discuss some of the horror, thriller, and sci-fi movies currently available on your favorite streaming sites. I'm Amy.
And I'm Carly.
Before we start today, we have a quick announcement. As you may have noticed, we're up kind of late this week, and that's because we have joined the Phantom Podcast Network, which is part of downrightcreepy.com. Woohoo!
Whee!
We're super... I'm super excited about
that. That was my super excited wee.
Yeah. It was very good. I'm very excited. It's really cool, and it's kind of out of the blue, and they're a fairly new podcast network. They used to be Boom Howdy, and then they kind of split off with their own horror network, so fairly new. But we've got Modern Horrors on Phantom Podcast Network, we've got The Horror Cast on Phantom Podcast Network, and a bunch of other really great horror podcasts, so... We're in great company, and we're stoked to join the network.
Yeah, we're really excited to be a part of it.
And when they asked us if we'd like to come on, they just mentioned that we would be their Thursday release podcast. So we did a little bit of rearranging, and now we're a Thursday podcast. So get used to it, people.
Yeah.
All right, enough of that. Moving on. Today we are discussing two newer release films, 2015's Under the Shadow, which was just released this month on Netflix, and 2016's The Neon Demon, which is available to stream on Amazon Prime. So do your homework, people. If you haven't watched these, go watch them, especially Under the Shadow. Especially. I will be very sad if you force me to spoil Under the Shadow for you.
Yeah, you should probably just get on it.
Get on it.
Watch these films.
Do it. Jerks.
Yeah.
Oh, I called you jerks. I've been listening to a lot of Jason Mantzoukas, and he calls everyone jerks. I did that at work the other day. We all go to lunch together, and I was like, lunchtime, jerks. And they were like, did you just call us jerks?
They're like, Amy, I didn't know.
I was like, yeah, it's like a term of endearment. No. But as always, before we jump into these movies, let's get started with a segment we like to call...
Trailer Trash Talk.
Am I talking really fast today? I feel like I'm talking so fast.
You're on fast forward. It's because you had a weekend.
I did. We had a real weekend. I kind of like this new recording schedule. I'm not going to lie about it. We'll see how much I like it when I'm editing during the week, but we'll see. We'll see. So far, it's awesome.
But as of today, thumbs up.
Yes. Today, thumbs up. Weekend, super thumbs up. It was so nice to have a weekend.
It was awesome.
Yeah. Okay. So the Trailer Trash Talk movie for today is XX? Double X? We're going to say XX?
Yeah.
I've literally heard nobody say it ever, so I have no idea. I'm going to go with XX.
I support it. I like it.
Thank you. XX, due for theatrical release February 17th, 2017. So next month, guys. It's a Valentine's Day movie. Take your loved one. The weekend after Valentine's Day. Hold them close. Tell them you love them and watch a fucking scary ass movie. This movie looks so scary.
It looks so good. I'm so excited. I loved how they cut the trailer with all of the four different stories and you don't know what's going on in which one. And I'm so excited.
I can't believe how amazing this looks.
I know.
I'm so excited for horror movies this year. There's so many good horror movies coming out this year. This looks amazing. So we have an all-female lead-led, let me try that again, an all-female-led cast and all-female directors for this film. And it's a anthology film. So there's four different stories. Hopefully they either intertwine or completely don't, and don't fuck that up because Carly hates that. Don't get on Carly's bad side.
Please don't. It's a rough place to be, probably. Sorry, go ahead. Yeah.
So our directors are Roxanne Benjamin, who directed and wrote Southbound. Carly, have you seen Southbound yet?
I actually don't know.
Girl, you got to get on that. I don't think you
have.
Well,
I'm thinking of a Southbound, but I don't know if it's the correct thing.
Was it an anthology?
Thing. It was not. It was not.
Then you didn't see it.
No.
You should see it. It's very good. Also, we have Sofia Carrillo, who is a Spanish language director. I say Spanish language director because I have no idea what country she's from. I could find nothing on her on IMDb. But she has directed multiple Spanish language films, and they look good. Apparently, they've won awards and things. We also have Karen Kusama, who, as we should know, directed The Invitation and Jennifer's Body, the Invitation that we did a few months ago. A fantastic film. Karen Kusama is super talented.
Never seen Jennifer's Body, but Invitation, so good.
It's so good. Okay, and we also have St. Vincent with her directorial debut. She's a musician. I know nothing about her because I don't listen to music.
Interesting. I've heard of her. I forget how, but that's interesting.
Yeah, she sounds familiar, but I mean, if it was made after the 90s, it's really up in the air if I've heard of it or not.
I feel like that's me too. I'm so bad with that.
We also have Jovanka. How about you say this name? No? She's shaking her head. No.
I will attempt it. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Jovanka Vukovic?
Vukovic.
Vukovic?
Vukovic. Vukovic. I think it's Vukovic because there's no H, but I don't know much about languages or speaking in general. This is her full-length feature. She's done a couple short films.
Maybe it's Jovanka. Jovanka. Jovanka Vukovic.
That's a pretty good name. That's a mouthful.
I know.
For our writers, we have Roxanne Benjamin, who's also a director, and Jovanka Vukovic.
Jovanka.
Yes, and also Jack Ketchum, who is a novel writer and also wrote The Woman, which is a film I see a lot, but I haven't actually watched yet. So let's actually talk about this movie now that we're done talking about everyone who directed and wrote it, because that took a long time. It looks so good, you guys. It looks so scary. Go online, find this trailer, watch it immediately.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the trailer, definitely go watch it because it will pique your interest and it'll make you want to see it and it'll make you very excited for, what is it, the 17th?
Yes, the 17th. Yeah, there's like boys pulling off fingernails and creepy kids and monsters and trailers and looks so good. It just looks
fun.
Good. It just looks good.
It does. It looks
Stop
really good.
Stop asking questions. Just go watch it.
Immediately.
Not trash talking it. We love it. Excited. Lots of women directing horror movies. Fuck it, in on it.
We're all on board for this one.
Boom. Doing it. I'm really stoked about it, as you can tell. Okay, let's move on. We're doing Under the Shadow first, yes? Is that what we decided?
Yes.
Okay, so Under the Shadow is written and directed by Babak Ambari, and it's his first feature-length film. It's an Iranian film, so there's subtitles, people. Get used to it, deal with it, move on with your lives, enjoy the majesty that is this movie. It's starring, here we go, I apologize for butchering these in advance, Narjeez Rashidi, Avin Manshadi, and Bobby Naderi.
I think you did really well there.
I think I did okay. I actually practiced this when I did my review of this months ago. This movie, this was your first time watching it, Carly. Please tell me what you think.
I loved it from the beginning, even before it got all horror-esque. I was super into the characters and I thought they did a great job kind of telling you who these people were, what they go through every day, their living situation. The woman obviously like wants to go back to work, but she can't because, you know, she's a woman and she protested and that was bad.
Yeah, she actually wants to go back to school.
Yeah.
She's actually trying to go back to school.
To be a doctor, right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and they won't let her, and that's so frustrating. I was like, oh, man, poor lady.
Yeah, it's super illuminating and kind of lovely to see this kind of story unfold. And it doesn't start, like Carly said, it doesn't start off like a horror movie. It starts off like this very realistic, truthful retelling of what it was like to live in Tehran in the 80s, mm-hmm. With war as just a common everyday thing that people deal with.
It's a part of life.
And how, yeah, you know, every once in a while an alarm goes off and you have to go in the basement so you don't get killed by a bomb. That's just part of life. And, you know, a woman can't go outside without her headscarf on, and that's just part of life. And you can't have a VCR. It's just part of life. And so it's kind of nice to see a film that not normalizes it, but makes you, like, really immerses you in what it was like for that time before kind of slowly lulling you into this supernatural horror film. And it's almost seamless, the switch between. You don't even realize it happened. You know, it just all of a sudden you're in the middle of this horror movie. And at first, it's kind of, I don't know, it's just so good. I really can't say enough good things about this movie. Yeah, this is definitely one of my favorites of 2000. And I'm saying 2016 because we didn't have it until 2016.
Yeah. No, I 100% agree. Like, this, it's just, it really is, it's seamless the way that it flows, because you hear, like, the little boy tells the little girl, Dorsa, I think is her name, yeah, about the djinn, and the mom's really mad that, you know, he's telling her daughter little, you know, scary things, and then we find out that he's a mute from the people that are watching him. And there's kind of like little things that happen, like Dorsa's doll goes missing, and, you know, there's weird shadows kind of, or like tapping and things that are unexplained, but they can kind of be explained just by like the atmosphere that's happening. So I really think that they did a phenomenal job of really taking this story, taking this situation that's not normal, but normal to them, and like turning it into this like ghost story.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of where to start. Well, some of the things that I thought were kind of fun that this movie did is I really liked, like I said, how they kind of not normalized, but desensitized you to what it was like to live in that time by just kind of immersing you in it. So you got used to it, and then they kind of brought in the horror. So like, you know, they tape the windows, and that's just kind of like an everyday thing. You gotta tape your windows in case a bomb goes off and your windows shatter. You know, there's draft notices. Her husband gets drafted because he's a doctor and they need medical help in different areas. So he leaves, and it's just her and her daughter, these two female people just living in the middle of this war zone that thinks that women are basically second class. And I don't know, it's really awesome. I can't say enough good things about it. But I also really love other little things, like the bootleg Jane Fonda workout tape that she has.
So good.
I loved it so much.
Me too.
It's just something simple, like getting up early in the morning and putting on your workout tape and exercising, which is like such a normal thing, like you wouldn't think twice about seeing in a movie. But in this film, she has to close the curtains, and it's very hush-hush, and no one can know about it. And, you know, someone knocks on the door, and she has to stop and get her headscarf before she can answer the door and, you know, hide the VHS player. And it's very special. Like, it's something different, for sure. And just as a film in itself, like, my husband doesn't like horror movies, but I knew he would like this because of all of that other stuff. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's not just a horror movie. There's definitely horror elements, and there's definitely scary parts to this film, but it's not all scary. There's a lot of substance here. There's a lot of a message here, and an important and very strong message, I thought.
I think so too. And it doesn't even take a while for the horror to kick in. It's just, it's always there, but it's kind of in the background. And it's just so refreshing because it's such a new take on the horror element, which is like, you know, I don't know. Like, I really, really liked this movie and everything that it had to offer. I thought that it was done amazingly.
And the cinematography and the framing of the shots is really well crafted. Babak Ambari, it's just his first feature length film. Like, that's amazing to me. He's obviously such a talent. The fact that he wrote and directed this, like, first feature length, I'm stunned and thrilled and excited to see more from him. A lot of people might try to compare this to A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night, which was a brought out a couple years ago, which is another Iranian film, but it was actually filmed in America. Similarly, this film was actually filmed in Jordan, because I guess there's a thing where it's hard to make films in Iran that are portraying Iranian culture. Apparently there's a lot of hoops and things you have to jump through, so it was just easier for him to film this in Jordan and kind of hop over those obstacles.
Yeah. No, that makes sense. That's really interesting.
Yeah. So basically, within this story, Carly already touched upon it, but there's a little boy whose family was killed in the war, and he's living with his aunt and uncle. So it's an apartment building. There's I think about four families in this apartment building, at least four that we know of. And there's the bombs. The war is slowly trickling in towards Tehran, and it's less and less safe for everybody there. So her husband's gone. She's with her daughter alone, and she has the support of her neighbors, and some of her neighbors she gets along really well with, and others maybe not so much. But there's definitely a support system there. And then as the war gets closer and closer, they slowly disperse. They slowly go other places that are safer. And I thought it was interesting the way they kept her there for so long. And it was because of her strong will. She's like, I don't need your family. I don't want to go to your family's house. I can stay here with my daughter. And then her daughter gets sick. Dorsa gets a fever. And
after she loses her doll, it's kind of, they kind of go hand in hand.
Exactly. And they get a fever. The building is struck by a missile that doesn't explode, but comes in through the roof. And I really thought it was interesting about the way they used Dorsa's doll to keep them there. I think the first time I watched it, I couldn't wrap my head around why they were staying. And the second time I watched it, I had a much easier time understanding why they stayed there. Did you feel like you were confused by that, Carly?
No, because I don't know if it was the little boy that said something, but they were like, once the djinn has something that you love, that you cherish, it's attached to you forever. And so it made sense that obviously, like, yes, the mother is in denial kind of about the djinn, but she also knows, she gets it. I mean, she's not stupid. You know what I mean? Like, she's definitely putting together these things. So I think if she had truly been in denial, she would have just taken her daughter and left. But like, she understood that her daughter loves this doll. It's missing. She needs to put this back together before they get out of there.
Yeah. I don't think I fully grasped that the first time because Shetty, who's the mother, was so against leaving at first, and then started learning about this djinn, and then also starting to believe in it. Like, she didn't believe in it at first, and she was like, you know, stop with your games and all the normal things a parent would say if a kid is complaining about a supernatural force haunting them. When she starts to experience these things for herself, she kind of pulled in the reins a little bit and started to believe her daughter, and basically would not stop searching until she found this doll. Even though the whole world around her is crumbling, she cares about her daughter so much that she's willing to just like fight through it and stay there until they can safely leave and she can leave behind this djinn that's haunting her daughter.
Right.
I'm excited that you got that. You're way smarter than me, because the first time I was like, just leave already. Jesus. I also really appreciate how overtly feminist this film is. It's so empowering to watch, and thoughtful, and it's interesting that it's written and directed by a man, because I feel like there's some true understanding there. And I suppose because he grew up in an area that was like this. He grew up in the 80s in Iran, that he would really understand it. And he has, you know, complimented the women in his family, saying he was surrounded by strong women. And, you know, that's really to his credit that he's able to write women so well and write such a strongly feminist story. I mean, I kind of love him.
No, I agree. I mean, it's very surprising that that her role definitely was written by a man, because, I mean, it's real. She's a real person. Like, I do not, there's not a doubt in my mind that, like, she exists.
Right. Yes, exactly. The acting is fantastic. And even though, you know, I love how, like, in foreign films, you even get a better sense for someone's acting, because you don't, sure, you know the words they're saying because they're showing up on the screen as subtitles, but it's really something special when you can really feel emotion and because you're seeing it in their face and you're feeling the way they feel, even though the words that they're saying aren't words you're familiar with. I really love that about foreign films, and this film in particular. The acting I thought was fantastic. Even the young girl was great.
Yeah,
Dorsa was. Dorsa was fantastic. She's a fantastic actress. Okay, so I think my favorite part and the scariest part of this film was probably a scene that wasn't even supposed to be all that scary, but more, I'm at a loss for words, so let me just describe it. When she's stuck in this building by herself with her daughter, and all of a sudden they wake up and they see a man watching them sleep. And she runs out to get him, and he slips up through this crack in the ceiling that was created from a missile. And she has this moment that's like, fuck this. Grabs her daughter and just starts running down the street like any fucking one would if that happened to them.
Yeah.
No one in their right mind would stay in there. And she doesn't think about it. She just grabs her daughter and runs because she cares about their safety.
Yeah.
And that's all she's thinking about. But the police find her. And she's not wearing a headscarf, so she gets arrested. Like, what? It's like, it's such a brilliant scene. It's so, I don't know how you can watch this movie and not just understand how amazing it is.
No, it's so good. It's so great. It's so good.
It's really good. I'm really glad you liked it so much. There is a little bit of like CGI-ish.
Didn't bother me.
It didn't bother me either.
I was fine with it.
When you finally see the djinn is wearing like a full, my apologies for my ignorance. I don't know what the full body covering is called. It's not a burqa, but it's covering, the djinn is covered from head to toe.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a very different fabric that she's wearing. It almost looks like, I don't know.
It looks like pajamas to me.
It does look a little bit like pajamas. It's a very interesting print,
yeah.
And not one that I would particularly see and think, oh, that's a djinn. You know, it's different, but it's also great because you know what it is when you see it. It's mm-hmm. so very different than everything else that you're seeing. And when the djinn is under the bed and the mouth and that scared the crap out of me the first time I saw it.
Oh, God. Yeah. That was so, I was like, oh, my gosh. That is teeth.
Wow. If you
what's
can
happening?
Scare me by yeah. And like the under the bed thing has been done so many times, but it still like seems fresh and different because it is different. It's happened before, but it's still different. You know, I've never seen it done that way before. And
I loved that scene where she was like, you know, with her daughter, but then her daughter started screaming, and then she was like, shined the light on her daughter, and her daughter covered her face, and then she like kicked
yeah.
her. I was
yeah.
like, this is so good. Where's her daughter? Which one's real? I'm
which
so
one's
confused.
Her daughter? Yeah. She doesn't know which one her daughter is, and she's, you know, she can hear her daughter screaming from upstairs, but her daughter's also down there in the basement with her. Like, where is she? Which one is she? And then the djinn appears, and this fabric that the djinn is wearing just like fills the basement, and they're trapped in this maze of fabric. Like, how friggin' symbolic is that? You know, women trapped in fabric, you know, like it's so, great. It's so powerful and breaking through free and trying to leave but being stuck in glue, and it's just great. It's just, I can't. I'm just going to keep saying it's great over and over again. It's great. It's great. It's
so great. So great.
And the best, and probably one of the best endings of a horror movie ever, when, you know, she's got landlord complaining that she can't, that she's a woman, she's the only woman that drives in the building, and she can't close the garage door because she's not strong enough and she needs to learn how to close the garage door, right? So she can't open the garage door because no one's there to help her. She just fucking drives right through it.
So good.
Get me the fuck out of here. They have the doll, but then where's the doll head?
I noticed that when she goes back to grab it. I was like, no, the head's not on it. Go back.
Sometimes, Carly, you have to lose your head a little bit to get where you need to go.
I guess so.
I mean, isn't that just the symbolism there?
Yep.
Watch it immediately.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it yet and you let us spoil it for you, I'm bummed out. But you should go watch it anyway.
You know how before when I called you jerks and I was like, I'm just kidding. I'm not kidding about you. Yeah, you. I'm pointing right at you. You jerk. That's right. I call my listeners jerks. Deal with it.
She means it.
I really do. I love this movie. Okay. Should we move on? This is why I wanted to do this movie last, because now I'm about to get into Neon Demon, and it's going to be like, let me finish my beer before we get into that shit. Fuck. So good. I'm so glad you finally watched it.
Me too.
I've been dying.
I think it's cool, but also a bummer that this movie was the British entry for Best Foreign Language Film for the 89th Academy Awards, but it wasn't nominated.
Well, that's fucking stupid.
Right?
This movie should win so many awards.
They missed out.
This film should be award heavy. I want Babak Kambari to make a million more of these, please. Yes, please.
Yes, please. Thank you.
I've seen nothing like it ever, and it's fantastic, and I love it. Have you seen A Girl Walks Home Alone at Night?
I have not. It was playing at a silent movie theater here, I think in November, maybe? But I never watched it. And it's on Netflix, isn't it?
Yeah. Go watch it. It's streaming somewhere. I just rewatched it recently.
It's on my queue.
I recommend it. It's not scary. I really don't think it's scary, at all. Like, zero scares. But it's good. It's scary in the same way that Let the Right One In is scary. Like, it's not. It's just not a scary movie. But it's a good vampire movie. It is. Okay. I also like the name Under the Shadow, because there's all these cool shadows being cast everywhere, and there's like the X from the tape on the windows. Like, it's just
I love such even the good imagery. The poster for this movie is awesome.
Brilliant imagery. You know what's so infuriating, by the way, is when you see this on Netflix, the cover art they chose for the film is stupid. It's a close-up of Doris's face looking scared. There's like two posters for this movie, and they're both a million times better than that picture. I don't know why they wouldn't use the posters, but whatever.
Netflix chooses weird images sometimes. Sometimes it's just like a shot of a scene in the movie, and I'm always like, that's weird. Why is that a thing?
I don't know. I don't know why they did that, but I don't appreciate it. If you didn't get a chance to, if you watched the movie and you didn't see the poster because you watched it on Netflix, it's a cool poster. Can find it pretty easily. Also, I think we posted it a bunch of times. All right, let's get into Neon Demon.
Let's do it.
All right. The Neon Demon from 2016, written and directed by Nicholas Winding Refn.
Refn.
It's R-E-F-N. There's not enough vowels in this name.
It's Refn.
It's Refn.
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 Refn. Refn. Refn.
And if you don't know him, you should. He did Bronson and Drive and Only God Forgives. And Drive is a really good movie. Bronson is an okay movie, and I kept falling asleep during Only God Forgives. And if I fell asleep during a movie with Ryan Gosling in it, like, pick up the pace a little bit.
But speaking of
pick
man.
Up the pace, let's get into Neon Demon.
Oh no.
Starring Elle Fanning and Jenna Malone. These aren't the people that are listed as starring, but Christina Hendricks is also in it, and Keanu Reeves, but I'm not, like, I really don't like Keanu Reeves. I really, really don't like Keanu Reeves.
How can you not like Keanu Reeves? He's, like, the nicest human of all time.
That's fine. As a human, I'm sure he's lovely. Okay,
that's fine.
Talking about him as a human. I'm talking about him as an actor. He fucking blows. I'm sorry.
I can't.
He does.
Speed.
He's a terrible actor.
Speed. I can't. I love Speed.
Carly, okay, you can like movies he's in and still understand he's a fucking terrible actor. He's been in a lot of great movies. Doesn't mean he's a good actor.
I just can't say bad things about Keanu Reeves. But you can.
Hi. I'm going to say all the bad things about Keanu Reeves. Buckle up, Buttercup.
I can't
Here
do
comes.
It. I can't do it. I do hate Keanu Reeves in this role because it makes me feel uncomfortable. I will say that. But I guess maybe that was the point.
Keanu Reeves in this movie is just like, I'm going to yell so that I try to give you the illusion that I have some sort of emotion, but I'm actually just a robot actor.
Poor guy. I like you, Keanu Reeves.
You know what? He doesn't need your sympathy. He has billions of dollars. He's fine without my opinion. It doesn't matter if my opinion exists because he's still better than me. In like almost every way possible. So if I want to fucking get on my podcast and say Keanu Reeves fucking sucks as an actor, I'm gonna fucking do it because he's got billions of dollars and I've got this podcast. So he showed me either way. Moving along. Can I just say it's so nice to see Jenna Malone again? I fucking love her.
I love her too.
I was such a fan of Jenna Malone growing up because she's my age. And so in like every role she's in, I'm like, oh, I'm like her.
Have you ever seen Saved? Because it's like the best movie ever.
I love Saved. I love Saved so much. It's and it's so got good. Susan Sarandon's daughter in it. Oh, it's amazing. It's such so a good movie. I actually have it on DVD. I was obsessed with it when it came out.
Me too.
She's also in Stepmom, which is one of the best and saddest movies ever.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I love Stepmom. She's such a little bitch in that movie. It's great.
She is. But she's Malone, so nice at the end.
Jenna Malone plays a great bitch. She's really good at it. I love her. I love her so much. I'm just so excited to see her acting. I know she was in like the Hunger Game movies, but this is like, I feel like it's real Jenna Malone back kicking ass, you know?
I do. She was great in this.
Okay. So should we start with our thoughts on the Neon Demon before we get into it? Okay. So why don't you talk first
about
the Neon Demon? You like the Neon Demon.
I do like the Neon Demon. And you think it's a great movie. Why people don't, and I understand, like, I get it. I get why people don't like it. Personally, I really like it.
Okay. Can I ask you a question?
Yes.
When you see, like, the title cards for this movie and you see the NWR all over everything, you know how there's, like, the NWR all over everything?
Sure
do. Does that bug you?
No.
It bugs the shit out of me. It's like being an author and, like, initialing every page you write. Like, just let it go, dude. We know you directed and wrote it. We're giving you props for it. Give it up with the NWR. We get it.
I get why you feel that way. It doesn't bother me.
I'm going to preface this by saying I really do appreciate him as a director and a writer. I think he's very talented, but not everything he does is for me, and I'm okay with that.
Yeah,
this movie, I thought was going to be for me. So the first time I watched it, I was severely disappointed. The second time I watched it, I was less disappointed, but fucking bored as shit. It's so boring. This is the longest movie ever. Nothing happens. It's the most beautiful disaster I've ever seen in my life. This is
How
the
long
most
is it?
Gorgeous. It's like, it's not even 2 hours. I think it's just under 2 hours, but it feels like it's like 7 hours long because there's really long stretches where absolutely nothing happens and no one says anything. I can't. I want to. I want to love it so much because it's so gorgeous.
It's
so
beautiful.
Gorgeous.
Yeah.
It's the most beautiful thing I've ever seen. It makes Suspiria look like garbage. That's how beautiful it is.
It's gorgeous.
But it doesn't matter, because there's no fucking substance there. But is that the point? Because there's no substance to the people in the movie either. And maybe it's, like, symbolic that the movie is nothing, and the actors are nothing, and the models are nothing. Like, is it just... is it supposed to be symbolic, or is it just fucking garbage? Like, is that what art is? We have to figure out if it's special or garbage. So, like, one of those paintings where the whole freaking canvas is painted one color with, like, a splatter of blue on it. Is that what art is? Or do we have to, like, is there have to be something deeper we find in it? How about I just fucking watch a movie with a plot? How about that? Rant over. Sorry.
For the record, I also hate art that's just a splotch or something that looks like I did in second grade. I've gone to the museums and I get really upset when I see that. And I'm like, you know what? I should have just saved my freaking refrigerator art and then sold it for goddamn millions. That's what I should have done.
Let's just shit all over artists on this podcast. Oh, you have fucking talent? Is that what someone told you? Well, let me tell you something else.
They're liars.
I could shit on a canvas. It looks better than that. Okay, now I'm just getting drunk and stupid.
No, but I don't know. I saw this movie. So this is the second time I watched it. I watched the first time I saw it was actually at a free screening here. And it was the first time they showed it in LA, and they did a double feature where they played Drive before it, and then they showed Neon Demon, and then Nick Reffin was there and he did like a Q&A. And so I feel like, I don't know, I feel like Only God Forgives kind of prepped me for this movie, whereas like Drive is so solid. Like, not a lot
it's
of...
It's so good.
It's so good. And there's, like, no dialogue because it all got cut during filming. And then, like... But there's a story and there's these characters and you feel like you kind of know them. And it's, like, whatever. And then Only God Forgives is kind of, like, the complete opposite where, like, I've only seen that movie once, but I had no idea what was going on the whole time. And I feel like this is, like, a little bit in between. I feel like this is, like, the imagery is present, but then, like, you kind of, like, there's definitely no depth to these characters, except for maybe Jenna Malone's character. And, I mean, you understand Bella Heathcote and Abby Lee, like, as the models. Like, you understand, like, what they want and why they want it and, you know, why they want to remain relevant. But then you also can get Jessie, who is, like, she acts coy and innocent, but she's just as bad as the girls who've been there forever, you know, like I get it. And
that's interesting.
So like, I kind of can see it. I don't know. Like, I love the part where like they're like, this is totally jumping way ahead, but I don't know if we're going to get very into this movie anyway.
That's a fair point.
I love the part where she's talking to Jenna Malone, like, and she's just like, my mother always told me that I was dangerous. And that's kind of when you, like, you're not really sure the whole time. But then, like, that scene happens and you're like, this chick's a bitch and she knows exactly what she's doing. You know, like, I don't know. Yeah. I really like this. Like, there's definitely hit or miss moments in it for me. But overall, I really liked it.
Okay. So I've been really hard on this movie up until this point. But I must say, there's definitely redeeming qualities here. This isn't all trash. It's, not to just jump into it. Well, yeah, I guess I am. But Jenna Malone is fucking amazing. Like, her acting in this film is what carries me into keep watching it. She's so good. The characters are believable. I don't dislike the characters. When there's actual dialogue, I'm interested. I just don't know why there isn't more dialogue. Everything is a symbol and everything, like, we get it. And the symbols are kind of like, they're either on the nose or they're like way above my head. Like, there's, and I don't know which it is. That's how I usually feel about art, though, I guess. Is it so obvious that I just get it easily, or is it so not obvious that I'm dumb and I don't get it? Like,
I don't even think that it's that above you. I mean, in LA, if it was a thing that by eating another person, you could stay younger or more talented or prettier, 90% of the women in that industry here would eat someone else. Like,
no, totally. And I mean, I understand that part, but the symbolism I'm more referring to is like the symbolism of like the lion and the room, and then the young girl in the next room, and her getting attacked, and how that young girl is really just Jesse's innocence. Like, that's kind of how I viewed it.
Gotcha.
Like, right, this young, but you know what I mean? Where I'm like, is it that obvious or am I missing something? Whereas like this young girl, and she's getting attacked and she's getting raped, and that's Jesse's innocence. And Jesse must, you know, kind of evolve into this heartless, self-absorbed mess of a beautiful human being, instead of becoming this 13-year-old that we never see that just becomes nothing, you know? Because their stories are the same, right? This 13-year-old has no family, and this 16-year-old has no family, and they're living in the same spot. They're living right next to each other, but with very different outcomes. And the only difference between the two is beauty. Right? I mean, mm-hmm. And she's younger, so that's her innocence. Like, I mean, I get symbolism. I understand symbolism. I was a literature major. That's all we do is symbolism. I understand it. But I don't... do you know what I mean, though? Like, is that it?
Because I
need more
it.
Than that. I need more than that. If you're not going to talk for a really long time, I need more than that. I need more than pretty colors and, like, some symbolism. I just do. It's too fucking long of a movie for me to sit through that shit.
I 100% understand. Absolutely.
I didn't realize I was so passionate about this movie until I started talking about it.
Well, then I'm glad we did it second.
I apologize to the listeners. I'm sure I'm very fun to listen to. I will say also, I really, when we did Starry Eyes, I really, really, really wanted to do this as a companion to Starry Eyes. I wanted to do them at the same time. And as I was watching it, I was like, this would have been so great with Starry Eyes because they're really similar. Just giving up your soul for you, you know, for your dream. Mm-hmm. What's more important, your dream or your soul, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I like Starry Eyes better, I'm not gonna lie. Okay.
I don't know. I personally can't compare them. Like, I get where you can, but this movie's just like, doesn't really fit in anywhere, I guess. Okay.
Let me pose this thought. If this movie looked like every other movie, if this just looked like a normal Hollywood blockbuster, would you still love it?
No.
Exactly! That's my point, girl.
But that's the point, though.
That can only bring you so far, though.
But it's the full package. It's what I expect. It's honestly exactly what I expect out of a Nick Ruffin movie. And I think when I go into his movies, I expect this. I don't know. I don't know if, like, if I can really explain it. It's like when I go into, like, no, I don't want to say that. It's like when I go into, like, a Kevin Smith movie, I don't expect it to be the best thing I've ever seen, but I expect to have a good time. And I always do. I haven't seen Yoga Hoosiers.
Right, but okay. But expecting Kevin Smith to be Kevin Smith is one thing. But expecting Nicholas Winding Refn to be himself. I mean, he hasn't done that many movies. Can we really say that about him? And have you seen Bronson? Because it's nothing like this.
No, I know that. Yeah.
This is only his second film that's like this. And I mean, I don't like putting him on some great visuals. No, it does. It has great visuals, but there's heart in it. There's soul to it. There's a story. There's characters we feel for. Whereas, like, I can't put this on a Stanley Kubrick level. I can't.
Oh no.
He's trying to be on that level. Like, he's trying to make his 2001 A Space Odyssey any way he fucking can. I just feel like he's trying too hard, and it's, like, pretentious. But it's gorgeous. It's fucking amazing looking. I can't emphasize that enough. This movie is visually stunning. To the highest level. Probably one of the most beautiful films I've ever seen.
It's gorgeous. It's like moving art is kind of a thing.
It is. It's 100% moving art. And if maybe they chopped 30 minutes off of this movie, I would like it a million times more.
Yeah.
I mean, just cut Keanu Reeves straight out of it. I'd fucking love this movie. I actually, fucking Keanu Reeves. I don't even like him when he's Keanu Reeves acting, let alone rape Keanu Reeves acting.
I hated, the rapey part was not my favorite.
And he's just like, he says these things and you're just like, I don't believe anything he says anyway. Oh, wait, Ira. My favorite is Keanu Reeves improvised the line, room 214, gotta be seen. Because that's the kind of acting Keanu Reeves does, where he pats himself on the back for fucking improvising a rhyme that sounds like something a child would make up.
Oh, good grief.
Fucking robot. Fucking robot. Okay. So the director, Nicholas, don't make me keep saying his name. I'm going to call him Nicky. Because why do directors do that with the middle name? Like, I sound so stupid when I say someone's full name every time I talk about them. Just let me call you Nicky, okay? Nicky. Knock him down a peg or two. I'm going to get so much hate mail. Nicky's actually colorblind and can only see contrasts and colors. So he claims that's why this movie is so colorful, is so he could see the contrast in everything. But
do you think he's going to get those new glasses that help people see regular colors?
I don't know. It might be, like, damning for him to do that. That's the best part of his filmmaking. I'm sorry. I'm going to be really bummed because Drive is a great fucking movie.
So good.
And they've got these two bummers. I really wanted to like this one. All right.
I'm sorry.
He's just very LA. And I just have, you know me in LA. I'm like, ugh.
LA. I know.
People in LA. And when you see, have you watched an interview with him? He's so LA. He's the most LA of any LA person I've ever LA'd. I'm so hateful today. I apologize.
Oh my god, this is great.
I'm talking so much. I'm sorry. Can we talk about Jenna Malone's weird rape scene? Necrophilia rape scene? What is that? She fucking improvised that scene.
I know. And then he, when they were doing it, he told her to spit in the corpse's mouth. She did it and she just went with it.
God. I really hope that wasn't a person sitting there. Please tell me that was a dummy.
It had to have been.
Might I also add, we are doing Autopsy of Jane Doe after the credits. I'm gonna have to add that to the beginning. Forgot to do that.
Surprise!
After the music, we'll be doing a Autopsy of Jane Doe spoiler review. So if you want to listen to that, you've seen it, feel free to listen through the music for that.
It'll be fun.
It will be fun. Okay. Anything else we need to talk about? I feel really bad because I wrote like 7 pages of notes and I literally skipped almost all of them.
I love when Gigi vomits up the eyeball.
I like that part too because she looks like a cat. When she's throwing up, it's like how my cat coughs up hairballs.
Yeah, like when I was watching it again, I was like, oh, this is like making me want to dry heave. Like, it's so convincing. Well done, Bella Heathcote.
Agreed. Yeah, the models are like fucking gorgeous. They're beautiful. It's like, how did you even find such beautiful people? I guess if you're in LA, they're everywhere. There was some really cool, like, I like the beginning when they're in the bathroom at the party and they're having, like, the discussion about lipstick and how lipstick either has to be named after food or sex. And she asks, Jenna Malone's character asks, Jesse, are you food or are you sex? Which is kind of, like, foreshadowing.
Yeah.
But do you think that they're cannibals normally, or do you think this is their first cannibalistic venture?
It seemed to me like it was their first foray into the cannibal world because Gigi couldn't keep her down.
Yeah, it definitely seemed like Gigi's first time.
Yeah, it seemed like Sarah was like, she's been doing this. Sarah and Ruby have been doing this for a while.
Yeah, I could believe that Sarah and Ruby have done this before. they have a more brutal edge to them. Mm-hmm. Whereas Sarah is very, not Sarah, I'm sorry, Gigi is very, she's so self-conscious and, like, unsure of herself and threatened. Whereas the rest of them, whereas Ruby and Sarah just seem very, like, cutthroat and we know what's happening right now. Yeah. We've seen this before. Whereas with Ruby, it's more of a power struggle. I really like the character Ruby. I could have done if this whole movie was, like, surrounded by Ruby. Because I thought she was by far the most interesting character. I wasn't very interested in Jesse's story. I mean, it was good to see her evolution. But I thought Ruby was the truly interesting character. And maybe it's just because I think Jenna Malone was probably the strongest actress in this movie. By a long shot, her and Christina Hendricks. I could have just done a movie with both of them.
I love Christina Hendricks so much.
She did a great job in this film also, even though she's in it for just a scene, maybe two.
I love her. But yeah, I definitely think that they, at least Ruby and Sarah have done this before, and Ruby has like occult tattoos that you see when she's like washing down shit, washing it's down the weird pool.
It's very striking mm-hmm. when you see it. Because at first you're like, is that a shirt? And then, like, her nipples are black and, yep. like, pointy. And you're like, ah!
You're like, those are tattoos.
those are nipple tats.
Yeah.
Like, little witches. Look like little witch's hats. Witch hat nipples. Is that weird to
maybe, say? Maybe it was a virgin sacrifice. Because Jesse does tell Ruby that she's a virgin before they kill her.
Maybe.
And Ruby draws something on the mirror.
You're right.
Before she's leaving to go to the morgue.
You might be onto something there. And if they probed that a little more,
mm-hmm.
poked that theory a little more.
I'd be so down if this is a witch movie. they're like,
I just want everything to be a witch movie.
And they're sacrificing virgins to get jobs.
Oh, so good. Yeah, and bathing in their blood and eating them for their mm-hmm. beauty and youth.
Yeah.
That's a total witch thing to do. That's fucking witchery all over the place. They should have really, like, boosted that up some more, if that's the case. That would have gone a long way with me. A little witchery goes a long way with me. Witchery? Is that something people say? Yes. Witchcraft? Witchery?
Witchery.
Something I say. Deal with it, jerks. That's right. I'm calling y'all jerks again. Back to that.
She's back on it.
Oh, I'm cracking up. All right. Are we done?
Yeah, we're done. I liked it. You didn't. The end.
I didn't hate it. There's things I like about it. I'm not upset, Carly. I'm just disappointed.
Maybe next time he'll do better.
I'm just watch it with, like, the sound off and, like, doing a million things while it's happening.
Watch it like it's a witch movie.
I know. Maybe I'll like it more if I rewatch it as a witch movie. Please don't make me watch this movie again.
I'm not. Nope.
So you're good. Long.
We're done now.
It's so long.
It's 117 minutes. I looked it up.
It's 100 million 17 minutes.
Yep.
That's right. That made sense.
That's what I said.
What time is it?
We watched it's like 8:15
and I'm exhausted. This is what happens when we record after I work all day. Okay. I'm ranting. I'm getting out all my, like, work oppression on the microphone. Working it all out. Okay. So let's talk about what's going on with us now. Banging on the desk for some reason. So, I watched Buffy.
Yay!
I started it, and I was sick last week, so I watched a lot of it, and now I'm, like, halfway through the second season.
That's awesome. It is. Is it awesome? What do you think of it?
I like it. I can't stop watching it. So I must like it, because I can't stop watching it. It's so 90s.
Yes.
That I love. There's, like, scrunchies and, like, wispy bangs.
Butterfly clips.
Butterfly clips and chokers and
wedgy heels,
clunky shoes,
yep,
mini skirts, bell bottom pants.
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's coming, but yeah, I'm just really I'm into the 90s thing. The first season at was a little bit tougher. Like, there were some episodes that I thought were really great and some episodes that kind of put me to sleep, but I was also sick, so that could have been my illness. The second season I'm really into. I like the second season a lot. I like the plot a little bit more. I think it's a little bit more interesting. There's, like, newer characters. Seth Green's in it now. I kept being like, when's Seth Green show up? When's Seth Green show up? And then after he showed up, I'm like, God damn it, Seth Green.
Aw, I love Oz.
He keeps saying, like, who is that girl? Who is that girl? Like, every time he sees Willow, who's that girl?
He loves her times a million.
I know, but just talk to her. Like, stop talking to yourself and saying, who's that girl? That's weird. It's a weird thing to do. If I saw someone do that in real life, I'd be like, that's a legit crazy person. What else have I done? I watched that. I watched Autopsy of Jane Doe, which we'll talk about after the music. That's about it. I've been kind of like working on my house. We're doing like construction stuff, and so I've been busy with that. So not so much movie centric as I am typically, but I'm also been kind of like overloading on Buffy, so that's part of it. How about you? Have you been watching Gilmore Girls?
I have been watching Gilmore Girls. I don't remember what the last one I watched. Oh, I think the last one I watched was when Lorelai's parents got back together.
Oh, that's a good one.
Yeah, it's cute. It's been a good season.
Their wedding, cute. Their vow renewal, so cute. Have you seen the vow renewal yet?
I think I'm in the middle of that episode because I think the last thing that I saw was that really awkward scene where it's Lorelai and Luke and Christopher, and she's like dropped the bomb on Luke that she like drank tequila with Christopher, like, weeks ago. And then she keeps bringing it up and I'm like, you're digging the sword, just let it go. Yeah. Just don't say anything. What are you doing?
She totally does. Luke, I love that you're at the part, because this is like a good season. I like when Lorelai and Luke are together, and I like when Rory first meets Logan and like shit's going down with Logan a little bit. Although I'm not a Logan fan, I'm a Jess fan all the way, but I still kind of like the early Logan episodes. How are you feeling about Logan so far?
He's fine. I would not ever date him in a million years, but
right.
You know, Rory, do you?
Yeah, Rory kind of starts to evolve quite a bit in college, as we all do.
Yeah.
But perhaps not in a way you would expect. So I'm excited for you to continue watching. Please keep me updated because shit's going down. I can't wait to hear about it. So how did you feel about Rory's fling with Dean?
I knew that it was like the magic wasn't going to be there because they definitely like, you know, had a scandalous, how they got there was very scandalous. And so there's probably a lot of resentment there from at least Dean's side, even though it takes two to tango. So I was really bummed because, like, I don't know. You know, I like Dean.
Drama! There's so much drama in that part.
There really is.
In that whole part.
And I think
part.
That Rory did not handle that well.
And how do you feel about Marty?
Poor Marty.
Poor Marty.
He's just stuck. He can't. Rory just doesn't see him.
No.
At all.
I love me some Marty, too. I'm like, team Jess and team Marty.
Okay.
Like,
I like that Jess read the book and then stopped being so much of an asshole. But he's still, I mean, you're not going to, like, just say that you love a girl, peace out for months, and then just come back and be like, run away with me.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you can, and some girls might like that, but...
But
not
most
Rory.
Girls that, like, make sense and are like, I go to Yale, aren't going to be like,
that's definitely not a Rory thing. But that might be some girl's thing. Okay. So let's close this out real quick. And then after the music, we'll be back and we'll be spoiling Autopsy of Jane Doe. So if you haven't seen it, turn it off after the music, please. But next week we're doing Let's Make a Monster. We haven't done Let's Make a Monster for a while. So my friend Lizzie will be back. She's the one that was on for our American Werewolf in London episode. And she's great and smart and fun. So we'll be doing a secret movie. It's a secret to everybody, including me, because I haven't picked it yet. I will announce it after it happens, which will be probably about a week before you hear it. We also have stickers. So retweet our episodes or send us a review on iTunes or rate us on iTunes and we will and send us an email to finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com. Sorry, I drank beer. finalgirlshorrorcast@gmail.com and we will send you stickers if you did those things. We appreciate your support. Also, we are on Twitter @finalgirlshc. We like to talk to you on there. I'm always on Twitter, so feel free. Facebook and Instagram, you can search for us as Final Girls Horrorcast. We're on there as well. Updates and episodes coming out and things like that, we post to those social media sites, so feel free to follow us there. I can't talk. Thanks to Troy from Cave Bastard for our song Sequencing the Drone and Jason Link for our amazing logo. Please visit finalgirlshorrorcast.com for additional contact information from them or to stream our episodes. We're also on, Tuned In and Stitcher and basically anywhere you can listen to a podcast, you can find us. Also, thanks to our new network, the Phantom Podcast Network. We're also on SoundCloud, so you can find us on there as well. Anything else before we close out, Carly?
No.
No? Okay, well, let's say bye, and if you're interested in listening more, listen after the music. Otherwise, we don't care about you.
Yeah.
Jerks.
Jerks.
Gotta stop listening to Jason Mantzoukas. Okay, until next week, you guys. Thanks for listening. Bye!
Bye!
So now I can tell you about how much I fucking loved the autopsy of Jane Doe. I really loved it. It was great.
Me too. I loved it so much.
I had friends over and I got my husband to watch it and we all watched it together and it was really fun to watch with other people. I'm glad I watched it with other people. I think it made it more enjoyable than watching alone. Although watching it alone, I'm sure would have been very frightening and awesome as well.
How freaking cool is it that Stephen King said that the autopsy of Jane Doe is visceral horror to rival Alien and early Cronenberg? Watch it, but not alone.
I kind of agree. I think it's... Okay, no one rivals Cronenberg.
But how cool is that from, like, Stephen King? That's fucking awesome.
I think it's fantastic, and I think this film is fantastic, and it falls short very few times for me. I don't believe it's a perfect film, but I think it's pretty fucking close, especially for an indie movie. I was really into it. I thought it was so creative, so different, really fun to watch, twists and turns at every corner, and fast-paced, and when it's not fast-paced, it's still really entertaining. The characters are really deep and have a lot of emotion, and they're fun, and they're human. You know, you feel their humanness and their relationships with each other. There's so much to be said for that, and there's so much to be said for Andre Overdahl, who directed this film. I think he just did a fantastic job.
I love when this movie, I love when any horror movie can incorporate horror elements as well as comedy, because I really feel like the two kind of go hand in hand, at least in my ideal horror worlds. Like, I love being able to giggle and then just being, like, scared, like, all in one,
yeah,
you know, 2 hour period or hour, almost not even an hour and a half. And this is a really short movie, but
that's my favorite too. If you can make me laugh and be scared, like, you're winning, yes, in my book.
And God, like, Emile Hirsch and Brian Cox, amazing.
They're fantastic. They're, yeah, so good. And Ophelia Lovibond, I believe that's her name, she was also fantastic.
Yeah.
The acting was great. No complaints there. If I had to force a complaint, it would just be the CGI. There was a couple times it just took me out of it. But it was brief enough that it wasn't jolting.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But there was this one scene with the door, and he's looking through the door, and then the face appears. It's just so computer generated.
Yeah.
It's like the most computer. It looks like a cartoon. It's so computer generated.
That part kind of reminded me of The Mummy, and I have a really soft spot in my heart for that movie, so I was kind of okay with it. But I get what you're saying.
I'm not.
I get what you're saying. Like, I get it.
Yeah, but that's not enough of a reason not to like it. Like, it's not. It's fantastic. But I have to say, there was that moment where I was like, oh, I wish you didn't do that. Okay, I'm getting back into it now. You know, that's kind of what happened.
Yeah.
So, and that could have been a funding issue or whatever. I don't know. But all in all, fantastic. Really great. I loved how she just laid there and just the way they, like, manipulate her face and her body, and, like, the story unfolds as they, like, perform this autopsy, and the more they find, the weirder and creepier it gets. And I love how they're like, let's just get the fuck out of here. And I just love that. It's just so human. It feels real because of the acting and the way they approach it. Nothing seems like they're doing things for too long. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's not like all their ideas make sense, and everywhere they go makes sense. A lot of times in movies, I'm like, why are you doing that? Or where are you going? Or why aren't you leaving? This movie doesn't really have that. I understand everything they're doing, and I agree with basically everything they're doing. I'm like, that's a good idea. Yeah. Do that. You know, everything makes sense. Very well thought out. Very creative. Again, I just really liked it. I really enjoyed it.
It's so good.
I'm glad I finally watched it. It is a little bit pricey to rent. Pricier than other films, perhaps. But I have a feeling it'll be streaming for free somewhere relatively soon. That's usually what happens after I pay for a movie. It's like free the next day.
It's gotta be, because it's IFC Midnight, and they usually put their movies on Netflix, I feel like.
Yeah, I have a feeling that's what's going to happen. I just couldn't wait. I was so excited. And I know that there's a theater in San Diego that's going to be showing it at the end of the month, and I'm considering going to that just to see it on the big
screen.
You
should.
I thought that'd be fun.
It's so good, especially to see it with other people.
Yeah.
It's so fun. It's such a good movie theater experience. If you get a chance to see this in theaters, I definitely think that you should just take it.
Well, I would love to, and I hope that I get to. All right. Anything you want to add about the film?
Please go see it. It's so good.
I love the witches. There's witches. It's a witch movie. I love witches.
I
did not see that coming. I was like, no part of me thought she was a witch.
I saw that part and I was like, Amy's gonna freak out.
I did freak out. I was so excited. I was like, witches, she's a witch. We have a witch, people.
So good.
I love witches.
I love them, like, figuring it out and talking it out because I believe it, because of how they do it in the morning. Like, this all makes sense to me, like you were saying before. Like, I get it.
It's really great writing. The writers are Ian B. Goldberg and Richard Nying. Nying? I'm going to go with Nying. Great writing. Fantastic writing. Really impressed with the writing. No problems there whatsoever.
Mm-mm.
And like you said, yeah, Emile Hirsch. Emile Hirsch is great.
He's so great.
What do I know him from?
He's in Lords of Dogtown. He was in The Girl Next Door. He's just been in, like...
Oh, Into the Wild is probably where I know him
from. Into the Wild. He was in Milk. Lone Survivor. He did that Bonnie and Clyde thing on A&E. He was in Speed Racer. I'm trying to think. Trying to think of other ones. Those are the.
I think Into the Wild, but I also like remember him like as a kid actor. Wasn't he was on Third Rock from the Sun only for an episode?
No,
though.
That's
Sabrina the Teenage Witch. I'm just trying to see if there's something from like when he was a little kid that maybe it. Maybe I'm thinking of Girl Next Door because he would have been fairly young for that.
Yeah, he was youngish, right. Or like The Dangerous Lives of Alter Boys. I don't know if you ever saw that. He was.
Oh, I did, but that was a long ass time ago. I think it was in high school.
Yeah.
All right. Well, great, great movie. Great. I remember when we watched that trailer and we were like, "Yes, let's do that."
It's so good.
It's kind of fun now because we're getting to the point in our podcast where our trailer trash talk movies are starting to be movies we're watching. So it's kind of fun to like take what we said during our trailer trash talk segments and then also like get to listen to the after. Maybe I can try and clip in what our trailer trash talk was for this movie after this.
Yeah, I would love to hear that.
Okay, I'll try and clip it in if I can find it.
Who cares what the people want? I want it.
Do I remember what episode that it was in? No. Am I going to have to go back and search for it? Probably. Oh, well.
Oops.
All right. I think we're done for now. Let's close out.
Sounds good. Thanks for listening to our little chat.
Mini spoiler sesh.
Yeah.
Or chat. That's also a good thing.
Because we didn't really spoil too much.
It's true.
We didn't really say anything about what happens. We just said that we love it.
No, I did say witches, though.
That's true.
The witch thing is kind of a big spoiler. I wouldn't want to ruin that for someone because that was my favorite part. It's like finding out I was a witch. I'm like, yes, a witch! Oh my god!
Totally.
Okay. All right, signing off. Bye!
Bye!
The second trailer we have is The Autopsy of Jane Doe. Which is due for theatrical release December 21st, and it's directed by Andre Overdahl. I think that's how you say it. There's a slash through the O, and I'm very confused about it. But he's the same guy that directed and wrote Troll Hunter, which Carly and I both liked.
Nailed it.
Yeah. So I'm stoked to see this one. This again, is kind of like an interesting... creative kind of story where there's this strange girl and they're performing this autopsy and step by step all this crazy shit starts happening. I like this trailer because you really don't know anything at all.
Yeah, yeah. I agree.
It really doesn't show you very much, but it looks terrifying. I'm in.
It really, I'm excited to see it, and I really like Emile Hirsch. Mm-hmm. So, I pretty much liked every movie that I've seen him in, so I trust his judgment.
Yeah, I'm down. I'm down to definitely see that. And I know, I like the premise. It's interesting. It's not, I feel like, I don't know, it would be like a Twilight Zone episode or something. Do you know what I mean? Like they're doing this
like
autopsy.
Yeah, father-son team of coroners doing an autopsy together.
Right. I feel like that could have easily been a Twilight Zone episode. I don't know. Oh, I just like it.